Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. It is the third hour. And on Mondays, we are trying to do a new thing where we invite funny, interesting, lovely people to come on and spend an hour with us to talk about a variety of topics, not always related to Wisconsin, not always related to politics, but sometimes just lifestyle, culture, pop culture, and chatting about it with someone who is fun and funny. And this week is no different. Returning champion, Laura Lyons, who is a writer and a comedian, is back with us for a full hour this time. Laura, how you doing?
I am doing so sassy, so well. How are you doing?
You know, it's
one of my fave Midwestern gals.
That's true. You probably don't know as many Midwestern gals as, do you know many? You've been an East Coaster your whole life, right?
I've been an East Coast gal. I dated someone from Minnesota. So I saw, do we like Minnesota?
It's like a friendly rivalry, I would say.
Okay. We like Minnesota better than Iowa.
I don't have strong feelings on Iowa.
I'm really anti-Iowa.
Really?
Yes, because they're more they're more progressive than we are, which I find immensely annoying.
What about Michigan? How do we feel about Michigan?
I feel like I have a general fun rivalry with all of our neighbors, but it's fun to stereotype, but I don't actually harbor any ill will towards any of them. It's more of like, you know, the stereotypes are fun, but that could also just be me because I'm a genuinely nice person.
Right, right, right.
And your modesty is one of your best
totally,
qualities.
Totally, totally. But no, Minnesota's fine. People, was he nice? Was he a nice boy?
Yeah. No.
Oh, he was not nice.
But the people were very nice.
Okay.
And so that was lovely.
When you would visit?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we have kind of bookend topics for this hour that has to do with women and their hair. One of which that we're going to start with is women's hair getting them tipped more. And the last one is women's hair getting them potentially killed. So we'll leave that one for the longer segment at the bottom of the hour. But I saw this and nothing about it is surprising, but even just the headline alone is like, ugh. The headline from the Washington Post is, "Servers in pigtails earn more tips. It's creeping them out." So tip me, baby, one more time. Basically, a young woman went onto TikTok and told a story about when she was working at a pizzeria. She's like 21. And instead of throwing her hair up into a messy bun or a ponytail or just wearing it down, she put her hair into pigtails because it was easy to put her hair in like that. And where she typically would make $45 or $75 in tips during a double shift, that day she earned $140. And 1.4 million views later, after she made a TikTok about this experience, tons of commenters were saying similar things. And another woman added on and made another TikTok saying that she typically would work at her summer job at Neptune's Kitchen and Dive Bar in North Carolina. She earned $200, $300 from a night where she also put her hair in pigtails, and then the next night it increased about from $400 to then $500. And a lot of older men would tell me they really like my pigtails and would make comments about my hair. It was very odd. So where do you want to start with this topic, Laura?
If we want to go just right there, right at the gut, it's predatory. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing but it being grooming, predatory land. You know, it's funny, you and I have talked about it, but women discuss how they got hit on more as 12, 13-year-olds on the street rather than when they turn in their 20s and kind of legal, adult, mature ages. It kind of fades away. I think there's a lot of more discussion about predatory looks, how girls are not supposed to have hair anywhere except for their head, which that's a child. That's what children have. The idea that women don't grow hair anywhere but their eyebrows and their head is what of a toddler looks like. So it really, it's disturbing, and yet there's so many clues towards what this is, and it makes complete sense that she got more money.
Yeah, and it is, and it ties into so many stories. I feel like you hear of men wanting young girls and that fetish, and it's gross, but I also don't know how you control for it. And so part of what I also thought was interesting, having worked in the service industry, because you've worked in the service industry, right?
Retail,
but okay. Not so service. You haven't worked in a situation where you could be tipped.
Mm-mm.
So I have. Like most of my, I would say from 18 to, or like 19 to 25, I worked in bars and restaurants. And I certainly, I don't think I ever wore pigtails, but when I worked at a hostess, as a hostess, you know, I try to look nice. And I remember specifically there was one of the investors of the restaurant who would come in, and he always wanted the back table. And he always, you know, there was even then, and this is when I was 19, 20, he would want to come in and impress people and whatever. And I remember one time I got it all set up and I got the back table set up, and he slipped a $50 bill into my back pocket, which means he obviously grabbed my butt. And being a broke 20-year-old, there was such mixed feelings of that was gross and inappropriate, and it's also $50. And when I think of the couple girls who've made these TikToks now and working in a tipping industry, and the line between, well, I'm going to take advantage of you then. Like, if this is what will get me more money, then you're the stupid one who's paying more for, like, I don't owe you anything. So it's like, as the agency, as a woman, do you lean into it? Or do you say, I'm not going to play because this is gross?
Right. There's this whole kind of Barbiecore bimbo era coming up on TikTok talking about, well, should we just beat them at their own game and act like a Barbie doll, act like, you know, pink and push up bras and all this stuff? There's so many, there's more than two sides to the coin on this, right? Because they have the power. So therefore the balance will always be off. It will always be kiltered. So how do you get to the next step? It's like OnlyFans or sex working. It's like, there's so many different sides to this, because at the end of the day, we don't have power. So it is a matter of how do we get there? If you look at the famous women that have become billionaires, it's all because of shapewear, makeup.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's all for the male gaze, right? Like Spanx, that was Spanx. Kim Kardashian, she did another form of Spanx. Her sister, Kylie Jenner, that was makeup. That was to make your lips look bigger and for the male gaze. Rihanna, that's makeup.
And lingerie.
These are all male gaze things. So do we beat them at their own game and just lean into it? Or do we go rogue? I have really battled with this, especially now that I've turned 30 and kind of really tried to remove myself from the male gaze, because it's exhausting and you'll never win. But is it a matter of being the Trojan horse? Coming in looking like a Barbie, going into these board meetings, having guys actually pay attention to you because they want to have sex with you, and then you kind of outsmart them and get your business going? Or do you set the whole thing on fire?
It's an eternal question. We're talking to, yes, Laura Lyons, who is a writer and comedian. She's our host, our co-host for the rest of the show today, because this is what we're doing on Mondays. We're inviting smart, funny people to pundit their way through topics of the day. Jane, do you have feelings on this?
The one thing I want to share with you is when I downloaded that Britney Spears song, Baby One More Time, for the bumpers for this segment, I find that video horrifying.
She was 16.
Yep.
She doesn't look 16. She looks like she's 12. Mm-hmm. She looks like she's 12 or 13. And she's got the shirt tied up underneath her breasts and showing her belly and dancing in her little knee socks and her school skirt. And it just was, where's the boiling water? I need a bath. This was just...
Well, and it's interesting because I was... 8th grade, 7th or 8th grade when that song came out, which Laura, you probably were what, 5th or 6th grade?
Yeah.
So you were, Jane, you were probably on the radio.
Adult. Yeah, I was.
Yeah, and so do you remember this being a topic of discussion when this video came out? Because it was a big deal. Like she was with this hit, like single.
Right.
She came out of the gate blazing as far as Britney Spears has arrived.
Well, it was a different time then.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
And... I don't specifically remember having a conversation with my then partner. If we did, I'm sure it was extremely contentious.
Hmm.
Because from his perspective, well, she can do what she wants. She's a young woman and there's nothing wrong with it. And she's going to make money and she's going to become a star. And so what's the problem? And I'm like, well, but aren't we kind of just super sexualizing our young girls at 12 and 13 years old? And doesn't that just give you the icks? Blah.
I know. And because I remember specifically her getting so much, her receiving so much of the backlash of her belly shirts and stuff like that, which I don't think was fair because she was clearly even at that point handled, right? Like there was a music industry and an agent and her parents and stuff as far as we are using this look. This isn't just her having agency saying, I want to dress this way in my videos. There was certainly adults in the room. So I think we're going to keep talking about this when we come back because I think there's some more juice in this lemon. Orange? I don't know. Some kind of fruit. Our guest this hour is Laura Lyons. Stick with us through the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest this hour is Laura Lyons, who's a comedian and a writer and my friend. And so I'm so happy to see your smiling face. Before the break, we were talking about an incident. I mean, I think a trend in general that doesn't probably surprise any of us, but of young-ish women who are working in the service industry, whether they're late teens, early 20s, and their experiment of when they put their hair in pigtails, how many more tips they get. And, you know, I think we could rail on the inappropriateness of men's infantilizing women and wanting younger looking women in one way or another. But because we're all women, Jane, Laura, and I, I'm also interested is what the feeling of, do I play along and get paid, or do I put my foot down and say, no, thank you? And I don't know if I have a strong answer. Like, I think I've played both in the desire to, like, take advantage of a situation where you're going to get money and paid for being cute or whatever. But I also don't think it helps. I don't know.
It's something I grapple with all the time because it is a matter of, do I stick up for myself? Do I go into this battle? It's exhausting, right? Like sometimes just wearing the pigtails, getting more money and just dealing with the micro and macro aggressions. Sometimes it's easier to do that because sticking up for yourself is really hard when someone automatically does not believe you, thinks of you as an object. And when the object starts talking, they're like, what, well, what does this mean? What, why is this object that I have power over has an opinion? How dare you? So for someone to not see you as an equal, for you to change their mind is really hard. So sometimes you do have to play along. It's, I always think about, did either of you watch Squid Games?
Mm-hmm.
So you know how all of them are really desperate, right? They all want money. They're all desperate. They're all, you know, in bankruptcy, all of this stuff. And these rich people kind of dangle this money over them. And they said, we give you, you have consent. You can either play this or not. And I really have been thinking about it in the sense of, if there's power imbalance, there is no such thing as consent. Those people were consenting to something because they were desperate. If they could, if they had the money, there's no way they would play those games. So I see it as the same for gender as well, is what do we choose and is there really consent? Whether it's sexual harassment or pigtails or plastic surgery, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, if a woman wants to get plastic surgery, she shouldn't be judged, of course, right? But what makes her want to get that plastic surgery? It's because of society. It's because we're second-class citizens. So is it really a want, or is it something that we've been fed to want? I think if we lived with just women and non-binary people, I don't think we really would be focused that much on our looks and our age and aging and all this stuff. I don't think it would be much of a topic, to be honest. I think we would respect the women that were older than us, rather than judge them on their age. So I think it's this huge want versus need versus consent versus power imbalance.
And I always wonder too, Laura, whether or not the women who lean into this actually win. I don't know if that's really a win. If you dress like the Barbie doll and you do get the big meeting, yeah, maybe you won. But, and that's kind of goes back to all my complaints about the current fashion industry, and everything is
the boobage
and the see-through boobage and one boobage. And I just, is that a win for women? I don't think so.
I go so back and forth with it because I grew up in New England, which is the most puritanical, waspy, you know, cover up place. And I, pearls? When I moved to New York, yeah, pearls. I mean, oh, I used to wear pearls all the
Lily
time.
Lily Pulitzer and
Oxford
pearls.
Oxford shirts. Yes, that is it. That is the game. And when I moved to New York, there were so many people from different walks of life. And culturally, my friends that are Latina said that, you know, they walk around with thongs on the beach, not caring if their stomach is sucked in, if they have a six pack, whatever. And a lot of them say when they went to the States is when they started hating their body.
Interesting.
And that there's this huge, there's actually a ton of research showing that the less puritanical you are with clothing, the less you care about your body. There's less rules against women. There's less control over women. There's less sexual harassment because your body is less seen of this, oh, cover up and don't be a sex object. And it's more of, no, this is my body. I'm going to walk around because this is, of course, this is my butt because everyone has a butt and who cares? So, you know, I would say before I moved to New York, I would be in that field of like, why do we have to see the side boob? Everything is sexualized. Like, it's so exhausting. But then there is this other side of, well, you're objectifying, you know, you're objectifying that side boob. You're objectifying all this stuff. It's like stripper pole. That dance is only sexy because we've deemed it sexy. It could be just very acrobatic, beautiful showcase of a woman's body, of a man's body, of how aerobic they are, how their strength is, but we've turned it into something sexy. So there's multiple interesting sides about it. that's why I'm so open to hearing from different people's cultures about their body and how they feel about their body.
Well, I think hold on to that thought, because I think this is a good segue when we come back to talk about what's happening in Iran. And it talks about, again, puritanical societies and covering up and what that means and what is the ability to choose to cover up. And this is awful what's happening over there. So we will talk about that when we come back. Our guest this hour is Laura Lyons. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest this hour is writer and comedian Laura Lyons.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. So it's funny because I feel like we didn't pick very funny topics today.
But we're not, I know.
We're
so
not,
sorry,
we're not showing off how humorous you typically are. But I think it's nevertheless very important for us to be talking about this, especially because the fact that there is not a lot of women in talk radio. And I don't know if there's many male talk radio hosts who would be choosing to talk about either of these topics, given their choice of what to talk about. And so in the first half hour, we talked about something in America as far as a anecdotal trend, people picking up on when they wear their hair in pigtails, they get higher tips, which opened up the conversation to women leaning into the game in order to get paid of whether it's flirting more or acting dumb or putting their own pigtails or wearing more revealing clothing, specifically while they're working in order to have that exchange with men, whether it's attention, money, a promotion, etc. And kind of in the same realm, I think we can talk about the horrific scenes that are coming out of Iran. And Laura, if you want to set up the story a little bit more and give background.
Of course. So there was a 22-year-old woman, Masa Amani, who was visiting her parents, and she had an hijab, but it wasn't the way that the morality police wanted it. Her hair was being exposed. It wasn't up to their morality guidelines. They beat her. She ended up being in a coma, and they said the source of death was heart attack. Her family said she was a very healthy 22-year-old. She had bruises all over her body because of the beatings. It was clearly murder. There are protests both nationally and internationally in support of women's rights to choose whether to wear a hijab or not. This isn't a protest about religion. This is a protest about choice. In France, there's a hijab. It's illegal to wear hijab. Women are fighting to want to wear hijab in France. It doesn't matter where this is. It's a matter of controlling women's bodies. There have been over 25 deaths that we know of. The problem is that Instagram and WhatsApp has been completely shut down in the city. TikTok is still available. If any of you have a TikTok and you see a video with a woman or a man or a non-binary Irani speaking, what you want to do is either repost it or duet/stitch it, because then it won't be taken down on your end as a Westerner because it's already kind of recorded. So you want to spread the message that way. Now, this happened a couple of years ago where the internet shut down and 1,500 people were murdered. They were trigger warning, but they were hung on cranes in the middle of public for everyone to see. This is what's going to happen if all of the social media is shut down. So we have to, as Americans, as West, even on the East side, if you also have availability for TikTok or other social media, is to share these stories as quickly as possible. Because though it says, you know, 25, then you get some numbers from humanitarian sources that it's even more than that, it's going to increase, and they're going to hide the amount of numbers, that death numbers. So it's really important right now to keep sharing these. Elon Musk, who is a very controversial figure is trying to help out with the internet access in Iran.
Because he did that with Ukraine as well, didn't he? As far as the the satellite signal?
Yes. I think it's called Starlink.
Starlink. I think it's Starlink, which sounds Starlink. Like it sounds like a Captain America, like the Marvel.
It does.
Thing, but whatever.
It does. Yeah. So ways to help very quickly is through social media and making sure that you're, you know, duetting, stitching, making sure the video is now on your side versus just on theirs. Because that video, a lot of those videos are getting taken down, their accounts are getting taken down. I mean, it's the level of on the ground policing and then internet policing is really frightening. A lot of the women in Iran, it's illegal to publicly dance, have your hair out, you know, without a hijab, certain amount of skin can't be showing. And these women are risking their lives, and some are being beaten and murdered. They're burning their hijabs. They're dancing. They're singing in the middle of the street, which it's all illegal to do as a woman. And obviously, we're not even considering the intersectionality of being queer in Iran. And what does that mean? And it's illegal. And so these queer women are, it's even worse. So there's levels and levels of this. That is really starting a revolution. And I think it's very powerful that it's woman-led. And I think we have to see it as a moment of, not inspiration, because that's a bad word, because this is not inspiring, because this is such a horrible thing that's happening. But we have to take their lead on this, you know what I mean? And as American women and non-binary people who are having their rights taken away, you know, the Michelle Obama, when they go low, we go high. I think we're past that because no one's listening to us. We can have as many beautiful, peaceful discussions and donations to Planned Parenthood, but look where we are. So I think, you know, pick up the torch as the Iranian women are, and we have to fight for them and we have to fight for ourselves as well.
Well, because as awful as everything we're seeing is, the first thing that struck me is when you think of the term, what they literally call the morality police.
Yes. Yes.
And so often I feel like the access to thinking about that kind of control that we have as Americans is watching or reading The Handmaid's Tale, which people forget that entire book, everything that happens in that book happened to a group of people. It was not just a dystopian imaginative creation. Like these were tactics as far as taking away control and women not being able to have money, women not being able to have credit, women not being able to have jobs. And so when you increase their dependence on men, you take away their ability to leave, to live their own lives. And to think that before the revolution in Iran, women wore what they wanted to. And it's even Afghanistan. I saw when there was videos and pictures of what Afghanistan was like before the religious puritanical groups became the government. And not to make it about us, but it's hard for my brain not to go to the puritanical religious right in this country who would like this to be kind of how things roll as far as women going back and not working as much and not having any kind of control over their sex lives or what they wear. And this is a slippery slope that happens and has happened within lifetimes of people who are living right now in multiple countries where things have slipped backwards, where women had rights and then they went back.
And don't forget, again, you mentioned before the revolution, which was in the 80s.
Yes.
It's not like this happened in the 1950s. This was in the 1980s when these women lost rights they had had for 50 years, which sounds somewhat similar to a right that American women had had for 50 years up until earlier this summer with the overturn of Roe versus Wade.
Well, and that's what I'm talking about, but also to talk about birth control, and it's all of these things where it doesn't happen all at once, but it
incremental
changes, And to the point that you then have morality police telling you what you can and cannot wear in the streets. And then that becomes normal, because I am sure as many people as we're seeing risking their lives protesting right now, there's probably a lot of people, including a lot of women, who say they should just comply.
Yes, absolutely. It's definitely a death by a thousand cuts, especially with America, because it's just legislation after, you know, legislation of just these little things, just chipping away. Obviously, Roe v. Wade was the biggest thing that has happened to us, but there's forced sterilization that's going on on the border right now. There's Black women who in our lifetime, after they've given birth, these doctors sterilize them without their consent. I mean, there are things that are just slowly chipping away, especially now that kind of white women are getting aware of these things. I think they're opening their eyes a lot more, where Black Indigenous people, women were just screaming like, this is what's happening. This is our reality in America. So I think there's so much of these legislations that are happening, that are on the books, that the reason why all these laws, these trigger laws, were able to go in effect so quickly is because they had them in the books. Mm-hmm. And as soon as they had the okay, it was a done deal. They have these prehistoric things from the 1920s.
Well, ours is from 1849. Ours is from 1849.
I can't.
Not know that? Yeah, in Wisconsin, when Roe got overturned, our law reverted back to an 1849 ban, which is the year after Wisconsin became a state. And because we have mixed government right now, we have a Democratic governor and a Republican-held legislature who they can't come to an agreement on what kind of new law we should pass. And so for right now, this is the limbo that Wisconsin is in.
And don't forget, the Supreme Court justice who wrote that decision cited someone from England from like the 1500s who was in favor of burning witches.
What about burying vampires?
It's really barbaric. And I mean, I know, you know, with Iran and Afghanistan, a lot of it does have to do with British colonization and American colonization, of coming in and ruin their environment and having all these sanctions. And then these morality police are like, you know, okay, economy is really weak. How can we get people into this one-sided ideology? And they use religion, which is, you know,
never a good idea.
Never a good idea. And they control people that way. So there is kind of, and because of our sanctions, U.S. sanctions on Iran, because of their, you know, the nuclear deal, but way before that too, and our placement of their leaders, these things have happened. So it's such a combination of different things. That is very scary. It's very alarming. And like you said, it can happen here because we are seeing it happening here. I mean, there are women that don't have autonomy over, they want to get sterilized. They want to get their fallopian tubes kind of quote unquote tied. And there was just an example I read today of a doctor saying, well, you're married, and what if your husband goes off to war and gets killed and you have to get married again, and that husband wants you to have children? It's just never our decision. We're just considered either sex objects or baby makers, and that's it. There's no autonomy. I mean, it goes back to the pigtails of, you know, we're either 12-year-old girls that people, men, want to objectify, or we're just seen as something to populate and shut up.
And don't forget, there is a growing white Christian nationalist movement in this country. So we may not have the Iranian morality police yet.
Yes. It is the Christian white supremacy nationalism stuff that is terrifying. And they really love, they're about marketing, baby. Oh, they have those brands. They are about the family led What are you talking about? What family are you talking about? They have the most criminal records I've ever seen ever. And they just are branding left and right. Here's the white picket fence. It's alarming.
It is. And on that note, I don't know if we solved anything, but when we come back, Laura Lyons will still be here. And we're going to change the topic and end on a lighter note because that was really heavy. And Laura is actually very funny, as am I, as is Jade. So let's we'll change it up a little bit, but stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. We're wrapping up our Monday show with our guest who's been here for the last hour, Laura Lyons, who is a funny woman. She's a comedian and a writer, even though we didn't have very funny topics today.
Sometimes you gotta delve.
Sometimes you gotta get into
it. You gotta delve.
Sometimes you just gotta bitch and moan about the injustices in the world. And how shitty,
it's needed.
How it sucks to be a woman sometimes.
That's why we're looking on the bright side. This is Laura's theme song because I love her.
I love you so much. And I heard, I just, this song is just, it's everything, really.
Just gotta look on the bright side of life. All right. What are you watching lately? What content are you consuming, Laura Lyons?
There are some really good shows right now, which I'm really excited about. Abbott Elementary is back on, which it's so feel good. It's very Parks and Rec, The Office vibes. They break the fourth wall, which means that they look at the camera, aka look at the audience, which is always really fun and a kind of fun gag. Highly recommend it if you haven't watched it. Reboot on Hulu kind of reminds me of, it's a scripted, but it's almost behind the scenes of what it's like in Hollywood. And it's about a reboot show. Rachel Bloom is in it.
From
Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Yes, thank you. Is it a musical show?
No. Okay. It's like if kind of one of those cheesy 90s 2000 shows like Step Up or you know, the sitcom with the family and, you know, a little cheesy. It's like if that show got rebooted, and it's a scripted show, but it kind of shows the behind the scenes of LA and Hollywood and all the BS that's in it. It's
this
good.
Is a great really cast. Good.
Isn't Keegan-Michael Key in it?
Keegan-Michael Key is in it. Johnny Knoxville?
Johnny freaking Knoxville. I know.
Judy Greer. This is a great cast. Paul Reiser?
It's unreal.
Wow. All right.
And I think it's really, it's funny. It also has this kind of darkness to it. It's good. It's on Hulu. First episode available. Go for it. And then the other one is A League of Their Own.
I've watched two episodes of it so far, and I like it so far. No, but it's different. It's funny. Have you watched it yet, Jane?
I watched a couple, yeah.
So it's, for people who haven't seen the show A League of Their Own, very similar premise to a movie, A League of Their Own, but goes a lot further in their storytelling than one you can do in a movie, because this is a TV show, but also because it's a very different time than the 90s as far as telling queer stories of what women who were into sports in the 1940s, big shock, not all of them were straight.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because Rosie O'Donnell makes a guest appearance
in
the new one.
Okay.
Yeah, which is such a great, amazing nod, you know. But she actually talked about how she wanted the director in the movie. They had this discussion of kind of,
because it was Penny Marshall in the movie. For the director, the first one was Penny Marshall.
Yeah, and so there was a discussion of, you know, let's queerify it up, but the 90s was just not ready for it. And
well, because think about Rosie O'Donnell. Now. Rosie O'Donnell had her show for how many years where she was closeted? You know, there was the whole joke about how obsessed she was with Tom Cruise, and she was just loved him so much. And there was always speculation. But I remember specifically that she was on that. She had her daytime talk show for years before she finally came out. And so obviously, and that was including, because this was her big breakout role, was when she was in A League of Their Own, and I'm sure she knew she was a lesbian then. And so it's interesting that she's now coming, talking about what those conversations were, and it was just probably studios being like, nope, shut it down.
Nope. Yep. And, you know, it's interesting, because even in the show, there, you know, were a lot of primarily queer women. And what we actually, it's a great tie into what we were talking about earlier, is they wanted to make them look more feminine, quote unquote, less queer. So Beauty Brand came in and made sure they were all dolled up for the games and had their curls in and their red lipstick. And they wanted to shorten the skirts. And they really were like, if people are going to watch you, then if men are going to watch you, they need to make sure that they want to have sex with you, because God forbid you're anything but a sex object. So it's fascinating of what we were talking about earlier. And it really, I feel like they just do such a good job on the historical accuracies of it.
It's fascinating. I've only watched two episodes of it so far, but I think it's one of the things to say is what's so interesting now of our ability to take a story, and sometimes it works better as a movie, but sometimes it does work better when there's so many different stories of what a unique time that professional women's baseball, the first time this ever happened, and putting it into a series where there's multiple different characters and experiences you can explore versus, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hour narrative film of what they could do the first time around. Because don't get me wrong, I love that movie. I love that movie. But I'm so happy that they, because like you said, it is a part of history where we can go back, and some of those people are still alive, that you can talk to some of the women who played. I remember listening to an interview with someone who was a lesbian, and she said, it was the first time I played, and I realized there was other women like me. And we couldn't talk about it. We couldn't talk about it else, you know, but in the league, we talked about it. And so I think I'm going to finish the series.
And I think there's one of the actual players who didn't come out until she was almost 80.
Yeah. And it was amazing because Abby, who's the co-creator, was able to talk to her about it. And her saying she came out only a few years ago and she was in her 80s. And it's amazing that she's such a legend for so long. I mean, since the 40s, and she just now feels comfortable coming out. It's such a powerful story, and it's so powerful that it could be remade into something that makes more sense and was more accurate and is inspiring people. It's really cool.
All right. Well, those are some pretty good recommendations, my friend Laura Lyons. Where can people find you if they thought what you had to say was interesting and funny?
Absolutely. You can follow me at Laura Lyons Comedy on Instagram, on TikTok. My Twitter is Laura Lyons with like five S's. I couldn't get Laura Lyons Comedy, unfortunately. Yeah. And DM me. My DMs are open. Love chatting with all of you. And you two ladies are fabulous.
All right, Laura, thank you so much for spending the hour with us. We will be sure to have you back again. And for us, we'll sign off. That's our Monday show. Come back tomorrow when As Goes Wisconsin. We'll start again at 11.
Life's a piece of shit when you look at it. Life's a laugh and death's a joke, it's true. You'll see it's all a show. Keep them laughing as you go. Just remember that the last laugh is on you.